And if we could turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We give you a warm welcome to this meeting. And you who are visiting for the first time, we give you a special word of welcome in our Lord's precious name. And we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're commencing our reading at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 11, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. If we could briefly bow before the Lord, seeking God's face, you who are saved, praying with me, praying as one man, under one head, seeking God's face, conscious that we need his help, fain as the help of man, and therefore you who are saved, you pray with me even now, in your own heart, lifting that prayer up to God for his help, for his presence. And you who are outside of Christ, you ask God not only to speak to you, but to save your never dying soul. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee and we give thee all the praise and glory for what has went before. But we ask of thee even now, by that name which is above all names, the man at thy right hand, the one who is praying in the power of an endless life, that thou will empty us even now of self and of sin, that you'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that you'll take a full control of this meeting. I take, he undertakes, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Hide me behind the cross. that none would be seen but Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess it's a solemn thing. Whenever the book is opened, because it's thy truth, it's thy word, and therefore we ask of thee for thy help. From whence cometh our help cometh from the Lord. Help us now. We beseech of thee in Christ's name. Speak to sinner and saint alike, and may all go down to the glory of thy precious name. We confess that we're not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truths, but we thank thee as ever, worthy as the Lamb of God which was slain. Help us now, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray, and for thy glory alone. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What heaven is, in the eye and hope of a believer, the true child of God, he looks upon it as a house, or habitation, a dwelling place, a resting place, a hiding place, our Father's house, where there are many mansions, and our everlasting home. It is a place where there is no sin, eternal bliss. All tears will be wiped away. No sickness, no pain. And the Lamb of God shall have all the glory. And redemption will be heaven's song. And the blood and Christ will be its center theme. It is a house in the heavens, in that high and holy place, which far excels the places of this earth. It far excels the buildings of this earth and is of no comparison whatsoever, for it is a building of God, whose builder and maker is God and is worthy of its author. You see, the happiness of the future state is what God has prepared for those that love him. It is a place where godly relatives are. It is a place where the saints of old dwell forevermore. Those who have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. It is expected that this happiness shall be enjoyed immediately after death, as soon as our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. The body, the earthly house, is but a tabernacle. The nails will be drawn, the cords will be loosed, the body will return to the dust as it was, and when this comes to pass, then comes the house not made with hands. And the saint, the child of God, the one who is resting in Christ, will go to be with Christ, which is far better. And therefore the soul The soul will return to God who gave it. And such as have walked with God here shall dwell with God forever. But my friend, you who are outside of Jesus Christ, you who are unsaved, it is not the place of rest that you're heading, but rather unrest. God asks two questions. Not the preacher, God. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You see, the place in which you're heading is not a place of rest, but unrest, misery, and torments. It is endless punishment. It is a fire that cannot be put out. It is a place that was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, into everlasting fire, a fire that cannot be put out, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a place of outer darkness, where there is no ray of light, and no hope of it, not even a glimmer. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of great sorrow, where there is constant, continual, eternal weeping. Your companions will be that of Judas Iscariot. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Better had it been if his earthly house of this tabernacle had never come into existence. Better had it if his earthly tabernacle had never been raised up. Why? Well, he heard the preaching of the gospel and rejected it. He heard the gospel as the Lord Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, and he counted it as an unclean thing. You know what it says of those who have heard the gospel and reject it? It says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Better you had never heard the gospel. Better you had never heard the gospel to reject it and fall headlong into a Christless eternity. Because it's sinning against more light. And so, with God's help and the time afforded to us, I want us to simply look at two men. Two earthly houses that were raised up. Two earthly houses that were taken down. One man went to be with Christ in heaven, which is far better. And one man went to hell and is suffering the consequences of rejecting the gospel. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 16, a well-known passage of Scripture. Well-known passage of Scripture, Luke 16. We see heaven or hell. We see heaven or hell. We see the both here. Luke 16. And we're breaking in our reading here at verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. Let us hear God's word. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And they cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And they said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And they said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We have here an account, a true account, a real account, of two men, two earthly houses that were raised up, two earthly houses that were taken down. And one soul went to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better, and the other went to hell, into everlasting fire. What do we read in verse 22? Well, we understand that the earthly tabernacle is no sooner raised up, and then it's taken down again. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Both men died. Both men died. Both men went their separate ways. A time to be born and a time to die. It is appointed by divine counsel. It's appointed by divine counsel. As your birth was appointed, so is your death. For it's appointed, as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh yes, this is a matter of comfort. It's a matter of comfort to the godly. It's a matter of comfort to the godly, for that they shall die well. They shall die well and die but once. But it is a matter of terror to the wicked, who die in their sins. The body is temporal. The life in which you're living now is but for a moment. Isn't it said in James, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You go out, put the kettle on, comes to boil, there appears a vapour from its spout, and then it vanisheth away. Or I know when I was younger, maybe going to school, I would have breathed in the window of the car and written a name. There appears a vapour, and then it vanisheth away. And that's what God describes each of our lives. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It says all flesh. It says all flesh is grass. It doesn't say some flesh. All flesh is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Doesn't say some flesh. Says all flesh. We are dying men and women. We are a dying race. The body is temporal in this sense. Death is the common lot of the poor and the rich. Death comes to both houses. The rich, the poor, the godly, the ungodly, the just, the unjust. Saints die that they may bring their sorrows to an end and enter into a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We find this man Lazarus. Yes, Lazarus, he suffered much. He suffered much. He was found begging for bread, in the sense he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, yet he knew the bread of life. He was homeless. He's found at the rich man's gate, yet he had a home in heaven whose builder and maker is God. And so, Christian, you take comfort. Though the trials and tribulations come, as recorded in Psalm 34:19, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yet the other man, yes, he died also. The other man, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin. Pretty fared sumptuously every day. He was rich in terms of earthly possessions. He was dressed in purple, which was an expensive dye. Lydia was a seller of purple in Acts 16, that woman whose heart the Lord opened. And those who were rich, well, they would be dressed in the regalia of purple. His heart, well, his heart was set in the things which he could see. Set in the things which he could feel. He cared not for the man at his gate, but rather for himself. He sought to get as much satisfaction out of this life as he could, living for the here and now. And let me tell you something. If your intentions are to live for here and now, you better make the most of it. Because it's only for a season. The Bible says sin is pleasurable, but the pleasures of sin is only for a season. Now don't misunderstand me. A man can be blessed with material things. But if that's what your heart is set on, like this man, he was rich but not rich toward God. His treasure was not settled at the right hand of God. His treasures was on the things which he could see, the things which he could feel. Better is a little with righteousness. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You know what that means? Better is a little with Christ than great revenues without Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with Christ than great revenues without Christ. Far better to be a pauper in the streets and having Christ than to have all the possessions this world has to offer and not have Christ. Yes, the body's temporal, but the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. What do we read? Well, we read this in verse 22 to 23 of Luke 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. We find that the soul of Lazarus now dwells in heaven. For he was carried into Abraham's bosom by the ministering angels. He's alongside that mighty man of faith, that man who was called the friend of God. The one who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And yet, Lazarus is beside him. Lazarus is beside him. And sings among all the redeemed. Glory to the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God the rich man, he's found in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. His soul's in an awful state. He sees the one now that in this life he despised and rejected. He sees now the one that he ignored whilst here on earth. He's reminded of the one who would often warn him of such a place. Because one of his requests was, in verse 27, part B, to verse 28, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send who? Send Lazarus. That thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. That word testify simply means preach. Therefore, how could he make such a request if he never heard Lazarus preach? I have no doubt that that man of God was at his gate, continually warning him to flee from wrath to come, to embrace Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. And friend, such privileges he forsook. God's man was at his gate. Because you must be a saint on earth to be a saint in heaven. God's man was at his gate. Flee from wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God. Flee to the only way of salvation. Such privileges he forsook. God's man was at his gate. And such privileges, friend, you've had. You've been cradled in the gospel. Literature after literature. A pleading father. A praying mother. Sermon after sermon. Meeting after meeting. And yet you still remain unconverted. And you count it as an unclean thing. Such privileges. I want to share this with you, not to draw attention to myself, but to bring it home to you. I had a friend and he was on his deathbed. And it was clear that he didn't have long to go. He wasn't saved. He was still outside of Jesus Christ. It was clear that he hadn't long to go. The earthly tabernacle was beginning to sway. The cords were beginning to be loose. The nails were being drawn up. The earthly house was beginning to sway. He couldn't do those things he used to do. And so I called round to him. He was in a residential home. And I was able to speak through the tannoid of the door. And I asked him, could I call in and speak about the things of God, share the gospel with him. He says, I don't want the gospel. I don't want the gospel. And so I asked him, can I leave some literature with you? You can read it in your own time. I don't want the literature. I just want to be in my own. And so 2 weeks later, that man was ushered out into God's eternity. As the coffin came out from his relatives, there was balloons tied to his coffin. That's what he thought of death and eternity. The music that was played to that man's coffin was Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And let me tell you something, friend, if you do it your way, it'll be the wrong way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. A gift that we have all reason to be thankful for. For he took upon himself an earthly tabernacle like ours, yet without sin. Because he couldn't sin, because he's God manifest in the flesh. You see, the sacrifice had to be without sin. And the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, and not only, as our friends, our brothers and sisters were singing earlier about the Lamb of God, that the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, and not only a Lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Our Christ is clearly seen. He became man in order to save men. He became man in order to save men, to save the likes of you and me. The one who was rich became poor for our sakes. The sovereign ruler of the universe, the monarch over all things, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One who was full of sores, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, Christ is the only way of salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape if we neglect so great salvation. And therefore you are outside of Christ. Come right now. Right this very moment. The gospel's not for tomorrow. The gospel's always now. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We come back to where we started. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? Both earthly houses were raised up. Both earthly houses were taken down. One soul went to be with Christ, which is far better. And one soul went to hell. Christ is the difference. Christ is the answer. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For whom the Lord sets free, he sets free indeed. Therefore embrace him, as he's freely offered to you in the gospel.